أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Today we will start looking at Surah Al-Kahf. This is Surah number 18 of the Quran. It has 110 ayat. It's a Makki Surah. In fact, it's a late Makki Surah. And highly recommended to be recited on the night of Friday, which is Thursday night, or on Friday, for forgiveness on sins and being encompassed in the mercy of Allah. In a nutshell, the surah has three main narratives and a parable. So there's the story of Ashab al-Kahf, there is the story of Prophet Musa and Prophet Khidr, there's the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, and the parable of the two gardens. And that's sort of interwoven with reminders about accountability, about the day of Qiyamah, finally ending with a mention of the inexhaustibility of the words of Allah, followed by a reminder that the Prophet ﷺ is but a human being, but an exceptional human being to whom revelation has been sent. So in essence, in a nutshell, the surah talks about Tawheed, it talks about Risala, and it talks about Qiyamah. And as far as Risala goes, it talks about both the book and the messenger. So let's briefly look at the surah. We've divided the building, or the surah, into 8 sections. Let's start with the first section. And the first section gives us 5 qualities of the Qur'an. But before we look at this, it starts with Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. All praise and gratitude is for Allah who sent down the book upon or to his abd. It is in direct response to the last ayah of Surah Al-Isra, which is Surah number 17, the surah before this. And that ayah says, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ and say Alhamdulillah. Now let's look at the 5 things that this section talks about in respect to the Qur'an. The first thing it says is وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ إِوَجَ. And in this book, he did not make in it any iwaj. The Arabic word iwaj means deviation or crookedness, basically not smooth. So the first reference says that this book is one that will provide ease, smoothness in reaching one's full potential. The second quality it says is qayyiman, upright, it's upwards. It keeps straightness, it ensures support. Basically an explanation of Sirat al-Mustaqim. The third one says liyunthira ba'asan shadeedan min ladunhu. It's a warning of conflict to those who do not follow it. The fourth quality, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. Its fourth quality is that it gives good news to those who believe, but they manifest their belief in good deeds. And finally, the fifth one, وَيُنْذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. A warning to those who attribute a son to divinity. And finally, an aspect to consider about the Qur'an in this section is in Ayah 6, where he says, بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. He calls the Qur'an hadith, or conversation, or a speech, alluding that the Qur'an will remain alive by conversation and discourse. So the first section, Ayah 1 to 8, talks about the Qur'an. Now let's look at the second section, which is from Ayah 9 to 31. And that's the first story, or the first narrative, from which the surah takes its name, which is Ashab al-Kahf, the companions of the cave. Kahf is a cave. So let's briefly look at the story, so we can refresh our minds. So the story of Ashab al-Kahf was reportedly revealed to the Prophet in response to a challenge from the Quraysh. They sent 3 men to the Jewish scholars in Najran to ask them about the Prophet and his claims to prophethood. The Jewish scholars told them
that in order to know the validity of his claims to prophethood, they should ask him about three matters. And if he could not answer, then he was not a true prophet. One of the questions was about a group of young men of ancient times who had an extraordinary story, and this was Ashabul Kahf. The second one was about a man who had journeyed until he reached the east and the west of the earth, and that was Zulqarnain. And the third one was about Ruh, about the spirit or the soul. And Suratul Kahf is an answer to Ashabul Kahf, or the questions about Ashabul Kahf. So this is section two. So let's today look briefly at the story of Ashabul Kahf. Afsus was a famous city on the west coast of Asia Minor. It was part of the Roman Empire, and the king was a kind and just ruler. During his reign, there was peace and prosperity. But when he died, there was a division amongst the people as to who should rule. And whilst there was this vacuum, a neighboring king called Dacius invaded their land and he annexed it to his kingdom. He was an atheist and he was a violent persecutor of the Christians who lived at that time. Six or seven young men stood up for their beliefs and they had to leave the town to escape this cruel king. On their way, they meet a shepherd who gave them some water to drink. When they told him about their intention of finding a safe place to be able to worship God, he joined them with his dog, and his dog was called Qitmir. The shepherd led them to a mountain and they entered a cave. Now Dacius, when he heard about these men leaving the town, got his soldiers to follow them, determined to make an example of them to anyone who disobeyed him. When they heard the sounds of the soldiers getting closer, they prayed to Allah to rescue them. They were overcome with a deep sleep, with their dog sleeping at the entrance of the cave. Now Dacius reached the spot and he sent in his minister to bring the men out. And the minister believed in Prophet Isa, and he was a believer. When he saw the young men sleeping, he came out and reported that they had all died of fright. The news pleased the king, who ordered that the cave be shut. A stone tablet with the name of the men and the date of the event inscribed on it was put at the entrance of the cave. And we see this in Ayah 9, where Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Or do you think that the companions of the cave and the inscription were of our wonderful signs? Allah mentions their dua in Ayah 10 when they said, رَبَّنَا عَتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَحَيِّعْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Our Rabb, grant us mercy from you and provide us for a right course in our matters. So now they slept for a long time. Some ahadiths say 180 years. And then they woke up. In Ayah 19 he says, وَكَذَلْكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاعَلُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And thus did we wake them up, so that they might question each other. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ. So a speaker amongst them said, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ. How long have you been here, or how long have you been sleeping? قَالُوا. So they answered, لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. We have been here for a day, or maybe part of a day. قَالُوا. And the others said, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. Your Rabb knows how long you have been here. Now they were all starving. So they decided that one of them would go into town to buy some food. They prayed for the entrance to be opened, and it did. And they emerged from the cave. The sight that greeted them amazed them. The entire landscape had changed. Little did they know that Dacius was long dead. And now it was the time of the reign of a kind Christian king, Theodosius. One of them went into town to get food and saw that everything was different. The houses didn't look right. People were dressed in strange clothes. He looked around in amazement, wondering if he was dreaming. Then he saw a baker's shop and asked for some bread. The baker was surprised to see the oddly dressed young man who spoke an ancient dialect and was offering him outdated money. He asked him whether he had discovered the coins in some treasure. The young man said, "No, no, no, this is the money I made after selling my dates the day before yesterday." The baker took the man to the king. When the young man told his story, the king informed him that Dacius was long dead and asked to be shown to the cave and its companions. Now, just before they reached the mountain, the young man told the king and his courtiers, "Just wait a minute so I can tell my companions of the situation so they're not alarmed by your presence." When he entered the cave and told the rest about it, they were worried that it might be a trick and they would be arrested. So they prayed to Allah to restore them to their original condition. Their prayer was granted, and they were overcome with a deep sleep. After a while, the king and his courtiers approached the cave and found the men and their dog asleep. The sight made them believe their story that the young man had told them, and the king decided to build a mosque at the spot in respect of the miracle that had occurred in that place. In Ayah 21, Allah mentions it when they said, فَقَالُوا ابْنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنِيَانًا رَبُّهُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ كَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ عَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. Build a monument over them, because their Rabb best knows them. And those who prevailed in that affair said, we will certainly raise a masjid over them. It's a phenomenal story, which with the story of Prophet Musa in Khizr and the story of Dhulqarnain has three thematic elements. The first one is journeying or leaving the comfort of their home. We find the youths of the cave left their home to escape from persecution. Prophet Musa leaves to go in search of Prophet Khidr, who is more knowledgeable than him. Dhulqarnain journeys from east to west to establish a righteous sovereignty over the land. The second thing we find in all three narratives is the intermediate states of being, and something that alludes to barzakh, that which is a barrier in between the dunya and the akhirah. With the companions of the cave, we find their sleep being the intermediate realm between life and death. In the story of Prophet Musa, we will see the junction of the two seas. And in the story of Dhulqarnain, we will see the opening between the two mountain barriers. And the third thematic element we find is all three are granted miracles, even though in the case of the companions of the cave, that they were not prophets. It was their utter submission and dedication to divinity that allowed protection through a miraculous sleep. Inshallah, we will continue with Suratul Kahf and explore these elements as we go along. So in a nutshell, Suratul Kahf, three narratives, one parable, eight section. We've looked at the first two sections. The first section, totally about the Quran and the five qualities. We've looked at Ashabul Kahf. Inshallah, in the next talk, we will continue with the other six sections. May Allah make us amongst the Ahlul Quran. May He grant us the ability to learn from these phenomenal individuals and grant us the ability to reach our full potential. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.